Grab, one of the biggest tech unicorns in Southeast Asia, is reportedly set to list in the US via a merger with a special purpose acquisition company, or SPAC. At $35 billion US, this would be the largest ever SPAC merger if it materializes. A SPAC is a shell company, or blank check company, formed solely for the purpose of raising capital to acquire other companies. The target company then gains a listing on a stock exchange. Grab is one of many unicorns in Southeast Asia that could be potential targets for SPACs.
Across a number of sectors, whether it's healthcare or logistics, fintech, commerce, I think Asia has a lot of quality companies and a lot of quality founding teams.
And Singapore can draw on its strengths as a key financial hub to entice Asia's unicorns and SPAC sponsors to list here.
We don't have that critical mass of good companies that originate from Singapore. But Singapore could be a very attractive listing venue for many high-tech, high-growth companies in this part of the world. We are basically a marketplace, a focal point to attract these companies to be targets for SPACs.
The city-state also has an untapped pool of family businesses that could potentially list through the SPAC route.
The thing to think about would be more homegrown local brands that aren't already listed. Historically, they've looked at listing as the traditional way, but this would be an alternative method to grow a homegrown brand, right? The likes of your BreadTalk, Charles & Keith.
Having a SPAC framework in place would thus complete the startup ecosystem in Singapore.
A lot of venture capitalists and private equity firms are investing in technology companies. I think with the rise of SPACs now in Singapore as well, it's a great avenue, potential avenue for technology companies to get listed on the stock exchange and create more of a dynamic ecosystem for investors to potentially exit.
To pave the way for SPAC listings, Singapore's bourse operator, the SGX, is seeking feedback for its proposed framework for SPACs. If all goes well, SGX hopes to introduce its SPAC regulations by the middle of this year, followed by the first SPAC listing. This will put the city-state ahead of Hong Kong, which intends to come up with a SPAC listing framework by June, and its first SPAC listing by the end of the year. The proposed guidelines include a minimum market cap of 300 million Singapore dollars.
Historically, deal sizes, targets, acquisition targets in Southeast Asia particularly, have always been on the smaller end of the spectrum. Certainly the $200 to $300 US type would be quite on the high end. We're usually seeing sort of $100 to $200 million mark. So putting the minimum cap at 300 million Singapore dollars, which is the equivalent of what today's rates, $200 to $225 million US, is probably quite high, thereby eliminating a lot of the smaller fintech, tech unicorn type businesses that are looking to list but have not reached a number.
If you look at the US, the NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange, I think respectively it's 75 million versus 100 million, which means that the bar in Singapore is even higher.
A good SPAC sponsor is also very important in finding the quality companies. Observers agree with giving sponsors more time, 3 years in SGX's case, to find a target and complete the business combination. In the US, sponsors have 2 years to do so. As a further safeguard to ensure only quality listings, the resulting business combination will have to meet main board listing criteria.
At the end of the day, you don't want to cannibalize your own catalyst market. You don't want SPAC listing to be another startup boss. You want it to attract very good potential unicorns to come here.
Experts say that as SGX finalizes its framework for SPACs, there will need to be a balance between regulation and market development.
If you over-regulate, you will lose the entire essence and meaning of having specs here. Because potential specs and potential unicorns might just make a pass and say, why come here and subject ourselves to such intensive regulatory oversight.
Refreshing and everything, it's proper monitor.
Within this SPAC framework, the interests of retail investors have also been taken into account. Unlike in the United States, warrants can't be detached from the underlying shares. Warrants allow investors to buy shares at a certain price and become valuable if the underlying stock price goes up. But by being undetachable, investors will only be able to benefit from exercising the warrants if they hold on to their shares. This mitigates free riding and excessive dilution risks. There are other risks.
The investor actually is parting with money at a stage when no prospectus or due diligence is done, you know, like ordinary IPO, that comes first. And there is no target in sight here, no business in sight yet. So you're parting with cash and you ask yourself, is it safe?
To ensure alignment of interest between sponsors and independent shareholders, there is a moratorium of sponsors' interest in the SPAC for about 6 months post the business combination. The sponsors must also hold a minimum equity at IPO of between 1.5 and 3.3%. In the final analysis, though, the onus is on investors to know what they're investing in.
We are operating in a caveat emptor market, meaning buyer beware. So the handholding ended sometime in year 2002 when we deregulated the market. One should not be asking for more and more regulations, tighter regulations, but one should be asking, am I educated enough on the investments? Do I know the risks? Is this suitable for me? And then make an informed decision. The best protection is knowledge. To invest without knowledge, you know, is a gamble.